Hey, everybody, welcome back to Shweet, the Lady's Guide to Bro Culture. My name is Gina Bloom, and this is the podcast where I, a transgender stand-up comic, currently quarantined in sunny Van Nuys, California, bring on some of my favorite funny ladies and non-binary folks to talk about the best, worst, and craziest of bro culture. They have not experienced some dude thing, and then they come on my show and try it out for the first time, and sometimes it's horrible, and sometimes it's wonderful. And it's always interesting, I hope, question mark. If you're still listening after 50 episodes, you must feel the same way. And this week we have a treat. I think it's a treat. My guests may disagree. I haven't actually got an opinion yet. But we are talking about The Sopranos. Yes, the TV show starring James Gandolfini, Edie Falco, and a whole host of other people that you've seen in small roles. It was created by David Chase. It ran from 1999 to 2007 for six seasons, and it is considered to be the show that kickstarted prestige television, the current golden age of television, the anti-hero, if you want to call it that, trend that ran for a little while that led us to shows like Breaking Bad and Mad Men. In fact, Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men, was a writer on the show for a couple of seasons. So it all kind of starts here. If you know a guy that's into Breaking Bad, if he's into Ozark or whatever, any show where people commit crimes and they're not sorry about it, it's all because of The Sopranos. And we're watching two episodes today. We're talking about the pilot, season one, episode one, as well as the late season three episode called The Pine Barrens. I picked those two episodes because they're relatively self-contained. You don't have to know too much about the show, and they are well-liked with people who know the show quite well. Also, I think we're going to have a treat with my guests today, the two of them there. They are both delightful people. My first guest is the newbie to the world of Sopranos. Please say hello to the lovely Ever Maynard.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi. So how are you today in this
I'm good.
Hot Sunday quarantine afternoon?
You know, there's no other way I'd want to spend it than here with you all.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sopranos. Yeah, I'm having a good day. I had some social interaction with a moving company.
Love it.
A rich woman from South Pasadena bought a desk.
Love it. Awesome.
I'm realizing that I undersold it. And she was like, "Do you think it'll fit my Lexus SUV?" And
I was like, "Certainly not. No, absolutely not."
And then she was trying to talk me down so that she's like, "Well, you know, the cost of moving is going to add an extra $100 because she was moving from somewhere to somewhere and the movers would pick it up." And I was like, "Well, that's not my problem.
That's not, yeah, exactly. That's that
not,
is not
I'm sorry, problem. That's not my problem." But on the upswing, made a little bit of money, and then I met three new people today that I just got to say hi to.
Love
which
it.
Felt wild. I was
love
like,
it.
Oh, there's, it's not just me in this
that
house.
Is a, that is a rare experience, meeting new people in this day and age. I attended a writer's improv group today, on Zoom, something that I would ordinarily avoid like the plague, but it was fun and I will do it again.
Okay, I might text you later about that.
Please say hello to the equally lovely and talented Brandon Scott Wolf.
Thank you for having me, and also what a nice intro. That was I think the only time I've ever been called an expert, and it's nice that it's tied to The Sopranos. So.
Well, you picked this subject. This is one of the times where I let the expert pick the subject, and this was the one. So obviously you consider yourself an expert on all things Soprano, and I bow to your expertise, sir.
Well, thank you. That's very nice to hear. I will say I looked at the initial list you sent me of topics you've already covered on the show, and I was going to do professional wrestling. Ever, are you a pro wrestling fan at all?
I wouldn't have been able to enjoy that because
okay so
watched it. I haven't seen any recent stuff. I haven't seen any recent things.
Yes.
Back when I was watching professional wrestling, WWE, WWF was when Chyna was still a wrestler and Triple H Oh, remember that? Where he was like,
so yeah. like 1998, 1999,
yeah.
somewhere like that.
Yeah.
That's where I would be like, okay, more of an expert in that lane. But Sopranos will be my like default, like, not if it's not my A, it's my A1 or whatever. So I was like, you know what?
That,
I can
okay.
do this.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. The episode was crazy that we did on wrestling because it was the most recent WrestleMania, the one with no audience, which.
Oh, that was crazy.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
There's no audience because of COVID-19. So they're still filming new stuff. But
so it's what?
It's
there's
bizarre.
The house. How does the drama portray? Like, how do you?
It's really, it's really, really awkward. It's like,
oh my God.
It's wrestling, but it's also like this weird, like, experimental French art film at the same time.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah, it feels like an art, a critique on wrestling,
yes,
I'm
yes,
sure.
Very much
like,
so.
Yeah.
Very
it's like taking all of the stuff you love from wrestling and then removing the joy and just being left with like, these two people are hitting each other, kind of, I guess.
So it was like little kids playing with action figures, like that whole thing of like, oh, I got you. Yeah.
1000% correct.
Yes,
that is all it is anymore. And now like all this news is breaking that like people are getting sick in the WWE with like the pandemic because they're in Florida. So it's a mess.
Yeah,
but the Sopranos cast outside of Gandolfini, they're all doing all right. They're all doing well.
They're all kicking around.
That's a fun thing to dive into. Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited to talk about this.
Yes. Ever, give us your off top first impressions of the Sopranos.
Okay. The first thing I did is I watched the Pine Woods episode, right?
Yeah.
Pine trees.
Pine Barrens.
Pine Barrens.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, like I could see how this is getting going. There's some backstory. It was really entertaining, you know, to see some kind of idiots fumbling around in the snow. And then the pilot was a good pilot. I thought it was a really great pilot. I didn't know all the elements. But here's the deal. I don't know if I'm supposed to keep watching.
You can totally do it if you want to.
Okay. Because I've started to just watch The Sopranos, but I'm watching it and waiting for it to get interesting. Like, I'm not involved. I'm more annoyed. I feel like it's just, like, background noise, and I'm like, what is the fuss all about? Like, surely it has to be a thing, and I'm not invested in any of these fucking characters. I'm watching this going, okay, well, where's a mob hit? Like, where does this get good? Like, right now they're just complaining about a drug deal, and he's hunting some guy down in Maine who might be someone who, like, ratted him out. That's where I'm at with Sopranos. The Pine episode, I was like, that's why I'm continuing to watch.
You see where
that episode, I was like, oh, there's clearly some drama happening.
So did you start watching more episodes after the Pine Barrens?
Yes. So you started watching
season 3, episode 11, and then started moving forward, which is a wild place to
start.
I started
season 3, episode 11, and then went back to the pilot, and then
have
started watching to get back to this point, then to watch it chronologically. But I'm
honestly
so annoyed. I feel like
If you never watch anymore, that's kind of like the finale, and you've made your own version of The Sopranos, which is kind of fun.
But don't they get got? Like, I'm tempted to just watch, like, I'm like, okay, here's Edie Falco. Like, she's in, like, once every other episode. Is that her whole thing?
No, they, like, so what they do, I feel like, is that they find, like, two or three characters to really hone in on per quarter of a season.
Okay.
And then you see, like, three or four episodes in a narrative arc of, like, this person is Tony's mistress, or this person is Tony's cousin, and you see, like, their story unfold, and each person, like, is tied to the crime family, and there's, like, four or five different crime families, and so, like, you end up weaving through these narrative arcs that all end up tying together, and you're like, oh, that person knows that person but doesn't know this other person, or that person is this person's cousin and they were just killed, and now they have to cover up the fact that they killed a business associate, like something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it becomes like a web.
Okay.
And the whole through line is Tony.
Okay. So what's the deal with the priest right now? Because I'm at the episode in season 1. I don't know if you remember. The priest just showed up while Tony's with his daughter looking at colleges. And it's like 11:30 midnight, and he's just eating ziti and drinking wine.
Yeah, there's like a weird sexual tension between Carmela, Edie Falco, and the priest.
Yes,
because the priest is a man of God, but he's like super into her and like wants to have sex with her, but he can't do that because it would be against his religion. And then Carm, she has a husband, Tony, who's cheating on her all the time with these Gumars, which is, I believe, just like old country speak for mistress. And so Edie is like really furious and disgusted with James Gandolfini the whole series, and it comes to a head at one point. And she's like emotionally cheating on him with the priest, and then Furio, who's a gangster who comes from the old country, to northern New Jersey in like season 3 or 4. So like the whole entire time, it's busy.
Okay.
Yes. There are a lot of like soap opera elements to The Sopranos, more so than probably like shows that came after, because it wasn't it's not written like a Netflix show where every episode leads to the next one, you know, like Ozark or something like that, where it feels like one giant movie. The stories are relatively self-contained, but then elements play out over each of them.
Well, this was before streaming. I feel like streaming has really changed the way.
Yeah, streaming. I remember I saw this series on DVDs. Remember those things?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I still have some.
Haven't seen one in a while. Wait, what DVDs do you have? Are there any like nearby that you can grab, like The Dark Knight?
They're in a drawer that like I'd have to move like a table to get to, because my roommate and I are like slowly packing to move. But I do know that one of them was The L Word season 1 that I got as a gift when I first came out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of course. But of course. So but of course. Yes.
Yeah, and I will say, get rid of it. I'm like, okay, great.
I haven't seen The L Word, but I would love to dive in and check out, because I've heard nothing but great stuff.
It is embarrassing. Like, it's very embarrassing. I find it very embarrassing. I find it to be like, really? Some of it feels very turfy. Rewatching it, I'm like, this is...
Yeah, plenty of that.
Not some of it, but actually almost all of it.
Yes.
The Max character? What? Anyways, we're not talking about the L Word. We're talking about, more importantly, how they treated Max.
But basically, the L Word is basically the queer female community's version of The Sopranos. So
I'll stand behind that.
It's
you're watching it, several episodes are going by, you're wondering, when are they gonna kill someone? What is this? This is terrible.
Shane is murdering. Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I see that. I totally see that. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same arc. It's just, you know, it all ends in hell, regardless. Yeah.
I will say, Gina, you make such a good point about The Sopranos not being linear. Like, I've watched The Sopranos like 2 times through, essentially, and maybe a little bit more, give or take random episodes popping up here and there. But like, I can just watch an episode randomly and be like, oh, this is really good. And I think a lot of it is because you don't have to watch them in a row, which you should, but you don't have to.
You don't have like, to, no.
Yeah, you can just say season 4, episode 2, why not? Whatever, let's jump in. And I think a lot of, this is a terrible thing to say, I think a lot of the reason why I love The Sopranos is just because it gives you a reason to wear tracksuits and eat like gabagool and things like that. And you can like make friends over it and be like, hey, come over, we'll have a themed day. And like, I don't know, my friend Nick and I watched a lot.
Yeah.
So much merch. We like started cosplaying as Italians. And that is a strange thing to say, but like, I love it. I just want to be Italian, and I am not. And I would love to be because of Tony Soprano.
I don't get it. He's waste management. He sees a therapist. And by the way, they're like, I thought that was kind of cutting edge. Or rather, I'm sure at the time, pushing the envelope of saying that therapy is okay. Like looking back in the 90s, where therapy was only for like crazy people or cuckoo, or it was something like only rich people in New York did, you know, like it was kind of like frowned upon. But it was like, here's Tony Soprano seeing a therapist, and it's fine. And then the therapist sees the therapist. It was almost like it was normalizing therapy, even though Tony Soprano was like secretive about his therapy. I will give it that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had to be. And I would think that organized crime probably still that way, because they're concerned about information getting out.
I don't know anybody in organized crime that would go to therapy, though. I think if they were going to therapy, they would. I don't think that they would. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
It did make an incredible framing device. That whole entire pilot where he was just like, I saw the pilot for the first time probably 3-4 years ago. And like at that point I was like, oh, this is a fun TV show. And now like seeing the pilot again and actually like going on a podcast where you're like, oh, talk about the thing, like break it down. I was like, that's a good pilot. That is a phenomenal mm-hmm. pilot because like,
yeah.
I don't know. You ever see like Goodfellas and like voiceover so prominent in that, but like you don't think The Sopranos is voiceover driven, but like sitting down with Dr. Melfi gives Tony the ability to just narrate the scenes.
Yeah, and I thought that was strange to me. It was good. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it wasn't, but like I didn't remember, at least in the pilot, there being voiceover. Like it wasn't like it's been a little while since I've seen any Sopranos. It was like, oh, they're doing a whole like flashback thing. I don't remember the show being like this, being this structured this way. I don't know if it stays that way. I know it gets kind of artsy and experimental. There's an entire episode that is a long dream sequence, and it's very Lynchian, and my older brother hated it because mm-hmm. he just wanted to have, you know, Italians with guns kicking each other around, and all of a sudden you had this weird symbolic 48-minute dream sequence.
Love the season 5 and 6 where, like, spoiler alert, Tony's, like, not doing well and is in a coma, and you just, like, dive into his thoughts. And, like, you don't know what's real and what's not real. And there's those weird flashbacks. Like, I feel so bad. I don't want to spoil anything for you.
No, please spoil it, because this is how I read every book. I always read the last 5 pages. Like, midway through, I'll stop. I'll read the last 5 pages, and then I'll continue reading. It's a problem. I'm sure that I should go to therapy. Like, you really dig this out in therapy. But I was going to ask you, because I haven't gone to, like, Wikipedia about, like, what this season finale is yet on this one, on this show. But what is the season finale? Should I keep, like, does he get got? Like, what happened?
Well, Tony doesn't get got. He stays, I mean, he stays the protagonist throughout the series. Okay. But so basically with the Sopranos is that there's usually, most seasons usually have some sort of primary antagonist, usually someone in the mob that he has to like square off against. And in this particular season, the primary antagonist, and you see this in the pilot, come out to be his mother and his uncle. Mm-hmm. And like it's an interesting conflict. It's actually one of my favorite things about this show is how their super old school values.
Basically, well, it's crazy to see that the mother
to be his
and the
undoing.
Uncle.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. They're like talk about maybe killing him at one point during the pilot. What? And it's like, yeah in the pilot.
At the very end, they talk about, they allude
to the
fact
that the brother's
in
the car. The brother is driving the mom in the car.
Yes.
And he's like, well, you know, your son.
Yes.
That's the okay. brother-in-law.
The brother-in-law, yes.
Tony's dad is brothers with Uncle June, Junior.
Okay.
Junior Soprano. And then the mother, Livia Soprano, is his only parent. So his father got killed, and he's been taking care of his mother and his uncle since then. But the uncle still, like, wants to run the mob. Even though in like a monarchy sense, he's not in line to be the leader, Tony is. And so there's like a struggle between him, the uncle who's being, you know, ousted kind of, who does have power, and Tony. And that's just in the northern New Jersey mob family, because they talk about New York and they're like a more powerful family. And then there's like 4 or so other families in the region that also have like power, but like, are not like the ultimate mafia.
Because right now, the episode I'm at, they're like, some dude is dead. Like some guy's dead. He just died. They're at a funeral. They set up for like the uncle is going to be the new king, but everybody knows it's Tony. Yeah. But then the FBI is taking photos. So is that like kind of preluding that someone is going to turn Tony into the FBI?
So like the entire time, and I think the reason why Tony's been going to therapy is that he can't trust anyone, and he's worried that he is either going to be put in jail or killed. okay. either by the government or by one of his like crime partners. And so okay. he always is like watching his back, and like he thinks that there's like a mole, someone who's close to him that's working with the government. And it turns out there is a mole, and it ends up being one of his best friends that you meet in the pilot. And then they have to get rid of that guy. And so like that's a season one to season two arc. And then like in season three and season four, he starts getting like flashbacks and horrible dreams where he's talking to his friend who he murdered, Big Pussy. There were mm-hmm. two Big Pussies in the pilot, by the way.
Well, there's a little pussy.
Which I, yeah, there's two. There's a little one, and then the pussy the Bob and Sarah
yes.
Is the big one. And then he ends up turning on Tony, so he gets a better deal. But then Tony ends up finding it, and then Polly Walnuts, Silvio, and Tony end up taking him out to like international waters or whatever, kill him, and then dump him. So there are like main villains, like you were saying, Gina, and then there's these small plot points that could mm-hmm. undo everything.
So the season, the series finale ends with, is there any conclusion with this family, or is the audience to believe that they just are just still doing crime?
The series finale has one of the most controversial finales in okay. television history.
It's, because right now it. I'm still like, should I, okay, I'm watching this, but I'm in the kitchen grilling some cheese sandwiches, you know, making grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't get it. I'm frustrated with myself that I can't turn it off. Part of me likes it. Part of me hates it. So is the ending, okay, tell me the controversy. Like, what's okay. going on?
All right, this is first, my feeling for 90 Day Fiancé, by the way. I can't stop watching 90 Day Fiancé. I love it. And I don't know why I love it.
First of all, you should never feel bad if something, even with a good reputation as Sopranos, doesn't connect with you. There's plenty of things that people love to death that I've just never been able to get into. I have a very intellectual love of The Godfather Part 1 and 2, but I don't love it as films. Like, I don't connect to it that much. And there are plenty of things, you know, in my new life that I respect but don't quite love. And you know, and that's okay. I watched Hamilton yesterday or the day before, and I loved it technically, but like I also couldn't tell exactly what was going on half the time because it seemed very much just like, and then this happened and here comes a song, and like it was very chaotic to me. And that's okay. So if you
yeah.
give it the first season.
Okay.
It is so interesting to appreciate the end, we don't know.
Will somebody honestly, please just tell me the end?
Honestly, we don't know.
Honestly, yes, we don't know.
It ends in a blackout. So,
no.
Like,
okay, so what happens in this blackout? What? That's why it's controversial, because you don't get a nice ending.
Yes.
Yeah, a season
I would
prior.
Hate that.
I mean, you do get a nice ending, but it's a controversial nice ending. Like, a season right. prior, they're alluding to the finale. I believe it's a season prior. Bobby Bacala, who used to be the right-hand man of Uncle Junior, mm-hmm. Comes in to be his caretaker, is going fishing with Tony, and they're just kind of talking shop about life. And at one point, they're like, what do you think it's like to get whacked? And they're like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the dark screen that happens. So that's, I think, foreshadowing to the finale where, like, trials, tribulations, all this stuff happened through six seasons, and the family is a core unit. Meadow, Anthony Jr., Carmela, and Tony are all together at a diner. They're all going to sit down for a nice meal. They like look around the restaurant, and you see a couple like shady looking characters, like one dude who's like sitting at like the bar area of the diner, and then like one person who comes in and has his hand in his pocket or whatever and walks to the back and goes to the bathroom immediately, and you're like, oh, something's off here. And like Tony kind of realizes it, and then as they're talking and like it's really like a nice we're together moment, the screen just goes black. And so, like, if you yeah. look at that Bobby Bacala conversation when they're fishing from, like, the season prior, you could draw the conclusion that Tony was shot in the head and he just got killed.
But it's an even bigger tease than that, because they're playing Don't Stop Believin' mm-hmm. by Journey. And right at the point where you start to sing along to the chorus at the end, is where it cuts off. So you don't even get to sing along.
Wow. You don't even get to start believing that.
You don't even get to start believing. No. That's the ultimate tease.
Wow. That's okay. That's clever.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty clever. A lot of people hate it. Yes.
I get why people put posters in their house of The Sopranos now.
Yeah.
Also, absolutely crazy thing I saw recently. When Hillary Clinton was running for president in 2016, they made a Sopranos parody ad where it's Bill and her at a diner, Don't Stop Believing is playing, and then she's looking around and seeing all these shady characters walking to the diner, and then it's just like, vote Hillary 2016, and it's like, what?
Wait,
why did they
what?
Do that? Why did they make her a mob boss?
What's what happening? If they did that as foreshadowing that she was going to get got and Trump was going to be...
That's some good foreshadowing.
That's some Illuminati
that
stuff
is
right there.
Deep state.
Before we get to the clips, I do want to say one thing. Brandon, you had mentioned that you had your own wannabe Italian period. I remember when my older brother and I rented the DVDs. I think it was already like close to the end of the series. And we watched it from like the fourth or fifth season onward. So we watched like four seasons worth in like a few weeks. This is old school Netflix where you actually rent the DVDs in the mail. Mm-hmm. And I remember we finished one of the seasons and we were so inspired. We drove down to the Marshalls in Tampa, Florida, and bought tracksuits.
Whoa! Shout out to the Marshalls in Tampa, Florida. Yes.
Shout
that
out.
Rules. I will say I made a quarantine purchase. I got myself an Adidas tracksuit just to lounge. Nice. I should have worn it today.
You should have, though. It would have been perfect.
That would have been something.
Podcasts are for audio. So I guess, guys, I'm wearing my tracksuit and I look great and everyone thinks I'm cool.
I'm wowed.
Thank you for being wowed.
It is a hot look.
Stylish.
All right. Let's play a clip. And we're going to talk about the clip. So we're going to, we talked about this very briefly. This is Tony and Dr. Melfi and Tony's little speech that goes into voiceover where he talks about he feels that he came in at the end of his lifestyle and the best is over. And it sort of neatly sets up the conflicts. Just a little bit of context. I really enjoyed this show the first time I watched it. I have not seen it since, 2007, since it ended. I don't know if it holds up, to be honest. The two episodes that we watched for the podcast are two of the best in general. What people consider to be the best. So I feel like I may be front-loading my memories, because I also remember there were some really indulgent, really dumb episodes of this show that...
the Christopher Columbus one?
Best.
Yes.
I mean, Christopher Columbus one is just insane. Yes. It's literally an insane episode of television.
There's a Christopher Columbus episode, and then Nancy Marchand dies, but they still need... This is the lady that played his mother. She dies, but they paste her head onto another actress's body just to sort of finish off the character, and it's the worst computer animation I think I've ever seen.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 2005-ish.
2005-ish.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
What?
I remember.
Hollywood is wild.
Very, very clear. This is like not as like gross, but I remember watching Spider-Man, like the Tobey Maguire one, in theaters in the year 2000, and thinking to myself, I'm glad this was made now, because the special effects years ago would have been awful. And how far we've come in special effects.
Insane.
The
original Spider-Man, yes.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
All right, let's watch Tony and Dr. Melfi talking about life. Coming up.
I don't know. The morning of the day I got sick, I've been thinking. It's good to be in something from the ground floor. I came too late for that. I know.
This is so moody.
But lately I'm getting the feeling
that
I came in at the end. Mm-hmm. The best is over.
Many Americans, I think, feel that way.
The Great Recession, okay, coming up.
I think about my father. He never reached the heights like me. But in a lot of ways, he had it better. He had his people. They had their standards. They had pride. And today, what do we got?
I do like they tell you where they're at without saying.
Did you have these feelings of loss more acutely in the hours before you collapsed?
I don't know. A couple months before all this, these two wild ducks landed on my pool. It was amazing. They're from Canada or someplace, and it was mating season. They had some ducklings.
He just had bread, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, he just had a handful of bread. That's just, he's ready to go.
He ran out from the house, right? Or no? Did he just go from the driveway?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It made it look like he got his paper, went to the pool. He was like, where's my ducks? Oh, there are the ducks.
My ducks. Yes.
And then mm-hmm. he's like, okay, good. I've hidden some bread by this chair, and then starts throwing it. That's what it looked like to me.
I will say the first time I watched it, it does look like that. And then I realized when I was watching it this time, not like this time, but earlier this week, there's like a ramp he set up in the pool and a bunch of crazy stuff for the ducks. Like he has been like watching these ducks for weeks on end and he loves them. So it's like, I don't know, maybe
okay, he's
insane. He's like losing his mind, this guy.
Yes.
He's not doing well. And what is it? At the end of the first episode, he's like, the ducks are my family. He's like, I'm worried about losing my family. And it's like, oh my, yeah. Oh my word, he's losing his mind. But I guess if you were in a high-pressure mafia situation where you couldn't talk openly about what you do for a living and you're worried about getting shot in the back of the head constantly, I guess I'd be losing it too. I'd be not doing well.
I'm barely doing well now. Nobody's coming after me.
In all fairness, there's a pandemic.
Yes, yes. There, none of us are doing well.
A lot of other problems happening in the world.
I've been being like, oh, there's a bluebird. This is not a joke. Like anytime, there's almost been a bluebird by me every single day of the pandemic. And because, and I sound crazy, but I'll see a bluebird, I'll take a photo. And I'll be like, look, see the bluebirds are around me. And it's not sane.
That's not insane.
No, not, there's no such thing as insane right now.
That's the thing you're noticing, not. And it's also bluebirds are beautiful creatures. So
yeah,
and like you,
hey, it's nice.
We have 55 hours a day to fill now. So if you gotta spend a little bit of time
looking for a bluebird,
looking for, that's fine. That's what circling that's what
back
it takes
to the QAnon stuff.
Okay,
there was like a Reddit rumor a while ago that all birds are bluebird cameras.
I've heard this. Yeah.
No, oh, you have. That's not real.
It's like a real conspiracy, which I think is like so funny.
The birds aren't that's real insane conspiracy. Yeah.
That's so those bluebirds could just be cameras. You know, probably.
All right.
Beautiful bean footage. Sorry, I just wanted to say that out loud. I've been thinking it.
Lovely.
Did you see a bluebird today?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Mark these down. Let's see how many days you can go until you stop seeing bluebirds.
All right.
Is it bluebird season? What is this? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
The quarantine. That's the quarantine challenge. Like,
that's the quarantine in me.
Yeah.
Brings out the bluebirds.
This brings the bluebirds to the yard.
Yeah.
This is one of these things that I feel like I don't want to watch The Sopranos all the way through again because I'm afraid that I won't like it this time. Because I get your perspective where it's like, is this all there is? Because, you know, if you're not into like gangsters and mobsters and like their inner lives, then yeah, this is all there is. And if this isn't something that you're interested in, 86 episodes is a long time to hang out.
86? No.
It's so many episodes.
I am out. That's it. That's what I needed to hear. 86 episodes. I'm
86.
Done.
Yes.
I'm done. I'm going to watch that last episode of the fifth season. I'm going to watch the third episode of the last season, and then I'm going to watch the series finale. I'm done. I'm out. I don't get it.
If you watch the series finale, it might hook you. You might be like, I gotta see how this.
I gotta see the other 85.
86? Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm outraged. And they're still making money on like Soprano shirts with the gun going down. Get a grip. I still see people wearing Soprano shirts.
That, I never understood why anyone would want to wear a Soprano shirt. I think the logo's not that great. I'm like not wowed by it. It's kind of like.
It's cheesy even for the time, but also. Also, the thing about Tony Soprano is, unlike Tony Montana from Scarface, is that there's nothing. Tony Soprano is uniquely miserable the entire length of the show.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fucking great. You work at a strip club and then you have a hot wife and then hot mistresses. Like, you have a lot of money. I don't know. It's just like, yes, move away. I can't. I'm so upset that there's 80s. I can't do this.
I would love to see the spinoff where Tony and the family just move away. Like, we're done. What else are we doing here? We live in Palm Beach. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go south. That's it. Really, the life of a gangster is so boring. You're correct. It is just sitting around eating meats and then just like being a pig.
Hoping you don't get got.
Yeah, hoping you don't get murdered.
Yeah.
But then you see someone like Paulie Walnuts, and you're like, wow. now this person's a mess. I can't wait to see how their life unravels.
That's the thing. I really the supporting characters, especially like Polly Walnuts, are what make the show for me. And like, I was really invested in this guy's life, and like I would have arguments back in the day. This is pre-transition stuff, so like, it was with me and my bros. It was a very different life, very different person than what you see before you. I had bros, I had a lot of them. And like, we'd get in passionate arguments about, you know, what Tony should do, as if he was our friend. And
but can we get a taste? Can we get an example of an argument? I gotta hear this.
Okay, so I lived with my older brother for a few years when the show was in its second half. So I had a lot of arguments with him because he was always about, you know, why isn't Tony just gonna kill this guy? Tony was always like, his position was Tony's a badass. He can just go do whatever. Why doesn't he just kill, you know, whatever Nat is annoying him that particular season? Because he does have different antagonists every season. And I'm like, but, and then I am trying to argue from the lit nerd that I was. I'm like, no, this is indicative of his, you know, his unresolved Oedipal complex and blah, blah, blah. And like, getting off on my own, like, ability to catch the wave that they're trying to impart intellectually. And I think that's what happens with a lot of these shows, where they layer in a lot of stuff. It's kind of like when I read Infinite Jest last year for this show, for this podcast. Yeah. Where it, like, the enormity of the project becomes its own, like, advertisement. Like, okay, I want to watch 90 episodes of Sopranos, and it's going to be this great testament to the closing of the American dream. And like, it makes you sound cool. So I was definitely into that whole.
There's an intellectualism.
There's an intellectualism it. Yeah. Behind it that I was very much into. That I would find myself to be very silly. And I've been on dates. I've hooked up with guys that are like that, and they're like, and they talk to me as if I've never thought these thoughts before, and like, no, bro, I just floated beyond that plane.
Yeah, you're almost like, I don't need that anymore. This is like, it's baby shit, honestly. This is stuff for babies. Where it's like, there are real things to think about in the world. I don't need to think about how Tony is going to get along with like Bobby or Polly or Junior or Carm or whoever. Like, that's nothing. This is nonsense.
Yeah, I guess. It's funny, the older I get, the less seriously I take things, and I think this, I used to take this stuff very seriously, and I have a hard time doing that now. I don't know, maybe that's my problem, though. Maybe this is really great art, and I'm just being impatient, because, you know, I get laid a lot more now than I used to, so, like, maybe that, not in the past 4 months, which I haven't done shit, but, like, in general, I have a much more fulfilling social life than I used to have, so, like, TV shows are very important to me back then. All right, Ever.
Yeah, I feel like it is escapism. Yes. Sorry for cutting you off.
No.
It's great. It's totally escapism, fine. And if you need to escape, then you can. But if you don't, and you have a fulfilling life, then you don't need those things.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I had a fulfilling life.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're right.
way to bring the room down, Brandon.
We all have very fulfilling lives, and we're doing great.
I feel very fulfilled.
Anyway,
we saw the table today, right? Was that on the podcast at the beginning, or was that before we started recording?
That was
that's
the
a fulfilling
desk.
Life.
Yes,
the desk.
Yeah,
right at the top.
Yeah, I met some new people. Okay, what's up? Okay.
So, Ever, is there a show, I know we'd mentioned the L word earlier, somewhat in jest, but is there a show that you have, that you feel connected to in the same way that Brandon and some of the other boys are connected to The Sopranos?
You know, I keep trying to think if I do, and something that I didn't think I did until I started rewatching it was Mad Men.
Oh,
I didn't watch it when it came out. And then it came out on Netflix, and I would watch it here and there. And then I got really bored and started binge watching it. And then seeing the characters grow with the time and then the little hidden things, I got really into it. Mm-hmm. And then like seeing how life was all going to play out, that I would say the writing and the arcs of Mad Men have stuck with me. And like seeing the, just like the different, I don't know. It feels kind of dumb to be like, yeah, I really like Mad Men. But I remember when it was out, like everyone was like, and I was in Chicago at the time and people were having Mad Men parties. And right. like I worked in Old Town. So all these like fucking bankers and investors would come in and they were like in their late 20s, maybe to mid 30s, like the douchiest bros would be like, we're having Mad Men cocktails. And they would all have like the ironic kind of like, right. mustaches, and then some they'd be clean, they'd be like into like mid-century modern furniture, like all of that. And I was like, I don't want to watch this show, then this is if this is the audience, this is a piece of shit audience, like. And then now I watch it and I'm like, oh, I get like Roger Sterling, and I see John Hamm's, his whole character arc, Don Draper's character arc, I'm like, holy fuck, like seeing how it gets from here to there, but he can't escape, you know, selling to us, and Peggy's decision to, instead of going with Joan, I was like, wow, okay, two different. Anyways, I'm rambling. We're talking about The Sopranos and how I cannot handle the marathon of 86 episodes.
I mean, Mad Men had a lot of episodes, too, probably around 75. It ran for a good long time, 10 episodes.
I've never seen Mad Men all the way through. It is my girlfriend's favorite show, and she will just binge watch it, and I will come in and see random episodes. But if I sit down for a chunk of like 3, 4, 5 episodes, it is great. It is really mm-hmm. great. I can get sucked in. I should do the start from the beginning and see all 75, because like, it does have a lot of great character development, and even though some of the fans may be terrible and kind of like a Rick and Morty situation where you're like, the thing itself is good, but the people who like it are generally not. But that shouldn't mean that you can't enjoy whatever
The Sopranos
is happening on the show.
Right.
You got to get into The Sopranos, you know? Let me just say, it sounds like you're not on board, but...
Well, you know what?
Watching all 86.
When I first moved to LA, Sons of Anarchy came on, and, like, I was living with someone, and we got into, like, binge-watching it, and we would, like, watch an episode before we would go to open mics, and we would start saying things like, you have to make it right! And then we would look at each other and just be like, I think we've taken our joke watching of Sons of Anarchy too far, where we were authentically and just non-ironically getting into each other's faces saying, you have to make this right. Like Charlie did on Sons of Anarchy. And that's when we stopped watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
This is
once you buy. Once you buy a motorcycle and start cosplaying as
right.
Charlie,
you're like, I'm a part of the show.
Whatever his name is.
Love this. This is the world I choose to live in.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I am in a biker gang.
All right. This is highly embarrassing. I have seen every episode of Mad Men. I've also seen every episode of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
His name is Jax Teller.
Jax, that's right.
And he had to make it right because, you know, his father was assassinated by, you know, the other leadership of SOA. So it was a very, very Hamlet-esque. Oh God, oh my God. This reminds me of so many like douche bro conversations I had comparing Sons of Anarchy to Hamlet.
I mean, you gotta get into it. Let's peel back the layers of this. Here we go.
Wow.
Prestige TV for me. It was like the last gasp of my masculinity, and boy, I went out hard.
Just binge-watching.
Binge-watching. Everything.
Creating a thesis.
Everything, yes. Everything that had a conflicted man with a gun or a briefcase in Mad Men's case. Definitely saw all of those things. Breaking Bad,
Quick question. What happened to the briefcase? What happened? It's what gone, right?
The briefcase no one's using them. This is kind of funny. When I was living here in 2007, 2011, doing my hardcore binge-watching Prestige TV era, I told myself that when I sold a script, because I knew that I would, by the way, I never did, when I sold a feature, that I would buy myself a Halliburton One briefcase.
Okay.
Which is a stainless steel bulletproof briefcase made by Dick Cheney's company. That was going to be my...
Aside from the Halliburton Cheney stuff, you're still on that. Track to sell a script, and you can still get any suitcase you'd like.
I will not buy a Halliburton One briefcase. That's okay if someone wants to shoot my luggage.
Your briefcase? Who's going to shoot your briefcase?
I own
the script's in there. It's important documents.
Apparently it was very important to Dick Cheney that all of his briefcases were bulletproof. So
yeah, it makes sense.
If you wanted
the kind of briefcase, I guess that you would like handcuff cool. to yourself.
Yes, it's exactly that kind of briefcase. Those were the
ones that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Probably.
Deal or No Deal, right?
Yeah. Those are probably Halliburton ones right there. That was
or a really good prop department.
Yes. those were the days, dude. I was like, they had a Halliburton store. I want to say in like Pasadena or something like that. It's a place I was hanging out. You could actually go to a Halliburton store. This is back when people
bizarre. I would never even think Halliburton would have a store. Is it still a company even?
I think it still is. Yeah. I think they still sell bulletproof briefcases.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
But I've lost interest.
Well, yeah, it's a crazy thing to have, a bulletproof briefcase. I can't even say it. That's like a say it 10 times fast situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing. That was going to be my treat to myself for being a success in Hollywood was a bulletproof briefcase.
It's kind of cool to say.
Spy shit, you know?
Yeah. But then I was like, but maybe you just want to be a soft lady instead. And now here I am. No bulletproof luggage for me. That's fine.
Gone are the days of bulletproof luggage.
Yes, gone are those days. All right, we're a little bit running close to the hour. I do want to play a clip from the Pine Barrens, so we can go out on talking about that. Here is a clip of. I'm probably not going to play the whole thing, but it's a clip of Chris and Polly almost freezing to death in the car and bickering and having ketchup for dinner, which. I loved. Spoiler alert. I thought that was really fun. Anyway, here
I thought that was very endearing.
It was.
Love seeing them eat relish and ketchup.
All right, here comes the Pine Barrens from The Sopranos.
Where the fuck is he? What are those, Tic Tacs?
I just found them. I didn't know I had them on.
You had Tic Tacs all along? Give me some.
I ain't no more. I ate them.
Selfish prick, I'm dying here.
Now fucking die already. Where you going? Don't go out there.
I'm eating those berries.
I'm telling you, they're poison.
I don't give a shit. At least I won't die hungry.
Motherfucking cocksucker!
I love that he's just gonna pee right by his door.
Oh! Do that by your own window. I don't want to smell your piss.
Fuck you.
What did you say?
You heard me.
Don't make me pull
those reactions, like,
you
couldn't stop doing them when I first watched this through.
Two assholes lost in the woods.
Yeah, I was fake Italian, too.
Why, so you could choke me?
Yeah, the Maron.
Think I'm stupid. I heard you on the phone trying to play
the finger pointed Tony does?
Yes.
The fuck you talking about?
You fucked up with the Russian prick, now you're worried about Tony. You wait till I'm asleep, then you'll choke me so he'll just have your version.
Choke you right now, you fuck!
I'll leave you here, you one-two cocksucker.
I'll leave you here, you one-two cocksucker.
You one-two cocksucker. Yeah, no, dude, I...
Not even sure what that insult means, honestly.
One-two cocksucker.
If there is one thing that I still love about this show and about The Wire, is.
Oh, never seen The Wire. I better start getting on that.
That's a dude show too. In fact, Brandon and I were talking about it. Brandon also hasn't seen The Wire, so you guys have a project to tackle together.
We got to binge together.
Yeah.
Like, hey, are you on season 2, episode 9 yet? Bubbles is getting into some trouble.
But a lowly 48 episodes, so I think, you know, it won't kill anybody.
48, that's a breeze. That's a walk through the park.
Yeah, that's like
great.
That's like half of the, it's like half of Sopranos.
And the material is very lighthearted on the Wire.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like they have these like sort of musical sounding insults that I love.
One two cocksucker
is melodic.
It is, though. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like a Coen Brothers type thing where it's something that they throw in there as like local color and then apropos of nothing. And that's my former broness coming back. I can feel it. I can feel him getting stronger back there. He's like, but it's,
hear Sopranos?
It's symbolic of man's humanity to man. All right. We're reaching the end. Ever, give us your thoughts on the Pine Barrens or the Sopranos in general. We already established that you just do not have the time or desire to invest in 80 something episodes of this show, which is totally fine.
Talking about it is giving me one of those like dull headaches. You know when you have to sit through a lecture and you're just like, I just want to get the fuck out of the room, and you can't leave the fucking room. That's where I'm at. I don't care, but I want to care, but I can't care, but I don't care, and I'm not caring, but I have to know the end. Because I will say the Pine Barrens, honestly, if that was the best, it was an entertaining episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun, but if that's like the best episode, I feel like I'm just watching paint dry at this point.
Yeah.
So for me, I say pass. I say pass on The Sopranos.
And that's totally fine.
Hey, that's 100% fine. Yeah. I will say it is so character driven that I feel like if you watch from the beginning, it might have a Mad Men effect on you, because it is very endearing. Once you start seeing these characters just shooting the shit with each other, and you're like, oh, these are just like weird uncles that are like buddies of mine almost. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. That it does have its charms. I will say that. I also don't particularly feel too invested in picking this back up. But hey, that's my dad would say. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, and you know that's what we're here for. Brandon, any final thoughts on The Sopranos?
10 out of 10, a perfect show. It's a fine time, honestly. If you like the mob, check it out. I watched it a couple years ago with a buddy and we couldn't stop watching it. And then I watched it recently in quarantine and got to season 4-ish and might, because of the podcast, pick it back up and just see the end one more time.
Hey, go for it.
So I never thought I would watch the 86 episodes again, but it's an enjoyable time. And buy a tracksuit if you're watching it. It enhances the experience.
I will co-sign that. It absolutely does. I have seen plenty of episodes of this show while wearing a tracksuit. It is.
See, that's so cool to me.
It does help a lot.
Heck yeah, Gina. All right.
Thank you, Marshalls in Tampa, for giving us the tracksuits. I will not forget you. All right. Ever Maynard, please let everyone know where they can find you online and elsewhere.
All socials, it's EverMaynard, at Ever Maynard. I lead meditations. This is not a joke. People think I'm kidding about this. I've been leading meditations on Wednesday. Hit me up. And then that's found on my Instagram page. And then if you're looking for some fun to watch, I'm in a movie called The Feels on Netflix, and then in Conan O'Brien's Meet the Staff. That's on YouTube.
Oh, right on. Yeah, Brandon thanks. Scott Wolf, same thing. Where can everyone find you?
All of that sounds very cool, and I got to check those out. I will give you a full report. Also, meditation sounds really great. I should probably hit you up about that. That sounds nice.
Yeah, let me know.
Find me on the internet at Brandon ES Wolf on Twitter. I couldn't fit Brandon Scott Wolf. and Brandon S. Wolf alone was taken 9 or 10 years ago. So it's Brandon E.S. Wolf, almost like Brandona's Wolf. And then I always say follow my mom on Twitter, at GoulashYum. She is usually either rapid fire tweeting about her life in Florida or retweeting me. So that's all I got.
Oh my God. You guys, you both have the most interesting social media presences I've ever had on this show. That's quite a combination. I will definitely follow your mom on
Please,
Twitter.
She'll follow you back. And you know, Gina, are you friends?
I love it. Okay. Absolutely. You can find me, Gina Bloom, at Gina Bloom on all socials. That's JeenaBloom, right here every Thursday for a couple more weeks. We have two episodes left of the second season. We are covering Training Day next week, and the big season finale will be Rick and Morty. So look out for that one. That I'm choosing to end that so that I don't have to deal with the fans. I don't have to deal with them after that. Like, I can just turn off my.
It's a good call.
I can just turn off my Twitter. Yes, yes. I wanted to do this show, but I'm like, I'm gonna wait till I have no episodes left to hear feedback, and that will be. Yeah, in 2 weeks. So look out for me there. It's on the More Banana Network. And yeah, just follow me on my social. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for The Sopranos. It's a huge commitment. You know, we all have plenty of time, but at the same time, life is short. You know what? You probably wouldn't feel cheated, but then again, if you didn't watch The Sopranos, you probably also wouldn't feel cheated. So have a good day, all you 1-2 cocksuckers.